The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
MED, here's Bill Myers.
Happy Find Your Phone Friday. It's 11 minutes after 6. Join the conversation at 770-5633. We're live on Facebook. The Facebook Live is facebook.com/Bill Myers Show. And I hope you like the page. Keep up on various issues here, political and otherwise non-political import. And other than that, have a pretty good time. Join in at 770-5633-770-KMED. My email, by the way, is bill@billmyershow.com. I don't say this often enough, but I know a lot of people try to send Facebook messaging, and they do messengers and things like that, and even LinkedIn. Even though I have a LinkedIn account, I have a Facebook account, I really do like to keep things at email, bill@billmyershow.com, because you get to the point where everybody always wants you to go in on their platform. And I know Facebook messaging may be really easy for you, but, you know, frankly, you get so much spam and stuff that really doesn't matter through the Facebook messaging. Just put it in an email and send it, okay? I hope that's all right with you, because I just don't have time to sit around and read videos or watch videos and, hey, this is something really great. You know, just drop me a note, okay? And I hope I'm not being untoward by asking that. But a lot of people say, hey, well, I sent you a Facebook message. Well, I even tell people on the Facebook page I don't really do Facebook messaging, because it's really hard to use on the show. If somebody sends me a document, it really needs to go through an email. You know, all those kind of things. The email really does. I know it's older school, but it works better, at least for me, as a show guy. And especially a one-horse town. You know, I'm it. You know, I love it when people say, Bill, send this to your staff. Okay, I'll send a message to me, all right? Anyway, join in. It's 12 minutes after 6. Some of our top headlines this morning. When it comes to crime, Daily Courier reporting that Skylar Fucci, the 26-year-old who was convicted of, remember the two, the elderly couple that was trying to cross that that busy highway outside of Grants Pass a few months ago and ended up being struck and killed? Well, Skylar Fucci was convicted of this, and the prosecutors had asked for 3 years in prison. But apparently what happened here is that he's only going to spend 45 days in custody. And apparently the lack of criminal record and the fact that he's the breadwinner of his young family apparently got sympathy within the criminal justice system. So he's most likely going to spend time not in jail, according to Chrissy Ewald from the Daily Courier, but in the form of community service or some sort of home detention. And I know that he was making the case that, well, you know, we got this family, got to take care of the young kids. I know that's pretty important. Of course, prosecutors are saying, yeah, and the elderly folks who ended up being killed ended up having family too. Gwen Jacobson, retired Grants Pass High School English teacher, and her husband, DeVern, 91-year-old retired pharmacist. Yeah, they had family too, but I guess as we age, our lives become a little less valuable, according to the system, apparently. All right. KOBI reporting this morning, a Medford murder trial that started this week now in the hands of the jury. So we may hear something about this pretty soon. Zachary Helwegen facing one count of murder and one count of robbery in the first degree. That was that 2022 Rumors Lounge stabbing, just so if you kind of remember that. His trial started earlier this week with one murder charge being dropped, but Helwegen's accomplice, Hannah Martin, stabbed 31-year-old Brittany Lovrovich in the parking lot of Rumors Lounge back in March of 2022. She was found guilty in July, and late yesterday, attorneys were presenting their closing arguments, and the defense says that Helwegen did not want violence, prosecutors urging jurors to use common sense and find him guilty of murder. So we'll see what the jury has to say about that. And another interesting trial, this one is one I think we're going to have to watch, because this is a wrinkle that it's a different kind of trial here. Trial date been set in the death of a lawsuit, rather, that a Klamath County family filed against Klamath County Fire District 1. This is also from KOBI. It was December of 2020. A couple paramedics from Klamath County Fire Department are accused of refusing to take a woman named Teresa Vaughn to the hospital when she was having trouble breathing. Now, the thing is that she had the woo, she had the vid, she had COVID, tested positive, right? And in May, federal judge Mark Clark ruled that the claims against the two paramedics involved must face a jury trial. Kirk Mylander, the attorney for the Yvonne family, says the trial set for January 7th, stated the last a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, that's going to be a big trial, says that even though he predicts the fire district will say the EMTs didn't cause the death of Vaughn, he feels like it's an open and shut case. Our case is going in to show exactly what they did and how bad it was, and to show that the science does support their intentional conduct causing Teresa Vaughn's death. Mylander says he and the family are hurt by the fact that the two paramedics are still employed by KCFD after all this time. Huh. I have to go back and look at that story. This is one of those stories that came during the Wu Flu time that, I don't know, is there an option? Of course, they're refusing. Well, they were employees. There was a lot of fear going on back there, wasn't it? I think I'd be curious what the jury will think about this, because I know that what the lawyers are going to say is, you had a duty to take them, but then, do you have a duty, something communicable? And that was during the first round of COVID. The first round of COVID, we're talking 2020, December of 2020. That was the stuff that actually was hurting a lot of people. And as we got into the various later iterations of it, as we know about viruses, as the viruses mutate in order to stay alive, they become easier to catch, but much easier to fight off. Earlier time, not so much. I don't know, if you're on the jury, what would you think about something like that? Now, of course, they're accused of not transporting them. Maybe there's more to this that we don't know about, but something tells me the attorneys wouldn't be involved in this unless there was some kind of case to make the money, right? Capital Press reporting today. This is actually a reasonably good news story. Judge has voided an Oregon law that banned urban growth boundary ballot initiatives. And urban growth boundary expansions cannot be referred to the ballot. That was a law passed earlier this year that said that urban growth boundary expansions could not be referred to the ballot. So in other words, we the people shouldn't be able to have any say on what happens with the size of the city and where the growth might be. But Washington County Circuit Judge Andrew Irwin determined that House Bill 4026 is unconstitutional and has no effect, agreeing with the opponents of the city of North Plains. The Oregon Constitution first reserved initiative and referendum powers to the people before vesting remaining powers to the legislature. This is what the judge said. The legislature has no authority to limit the people's referendum rights. Interesting. So if there is no way to restrict the referendum rights, does that mean that we, the people, could take apart local planning and the local roads over what's being done to downtown Medford? I'll talk about that here in just a moment. It's an interesting question to think about. If the judge is saying no limits, does that mean we could do something about the destruction of downtown Medford? I'll tell you why I'm thinking they're destroying it coming up. This is the Bill Meyer Show on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Join in at 770-5633 if you want to add something to it.
If your garage or overhead shop door needs service or repair, please consider American Industrial Door. They have experienced and professional technicians with a fleet of trucks that can repair and service any door or opener. And if you need advice or just have a question about your door, just give them a call or stop by either showroom. They've been your garage door experts in Southern Oregon for nearly 40 years. American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Have it your way! Have it your way!
Pops, this isn't a burger joint.
Yeah, this is a jewelry store.
With Lashberg, you can change anything from width to size to material. The best part is the warranties. Free through us, genuine lifetime warranty, and a lifetime free resizing. No strings attached and no fine print.
It's good to be the king. I get to choose.
Everyone can choose with Lashbrook Pops.
Come into Father and Son Jewelry and have it your way.
Join us at the Expo for the best Rogue Broadband Brewfest yet. September 13th and 14th, enjoy great food and over 70 award-winning Pacific Northwest microbrews on tap and football on the big screens. Catch great music and the Elton John Experience on Saturday. Hold me closer, Johnny Dancer. All at the Rogue Broadband Brew Fest, brought to you in part by the Friends of the Fair Foundation. And Scotty McCreary is the next Saturday. Get your tickets now at theexpo.com.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Yeah, like the lady said, definitely Brewfest going on this weekend. That ought to be a lot of fun today and tomorrow. And some of the other events happening, I know that Bowling for Vets is tomorrow at Lava Lanes in Medford, and that is a benefit for Veteran Services. Tomorrow, and I forget exactly the time. I think you just look that up. But Marshall Holman, I know, will be doing a presentation. You won't be bowling against Marshall, I guess. You know, Marshall's going to stand aside and let you, throw the gutter balls instead of him just completely crushing you, right? But anyway, I think that's pretty interesting. And Jeff from Selma ends up, I think Jeff, you're writing from Selma, right? He wrote me about the Rat Rod Ruckus, I think is what it is, Rat Rod. And that's going on at Pottsville tomorrow. And apparently the Rat Rod is any kind of hopped up car that you sort of cobble together from your bits and pieces. And it sounds like a lot of fun. And that is going to be helping out veterans service dogs, I believe. I'm hoping to talk with Jeff or maybe somebody else from the event sometime next hour. But, you know, a few things going on this weekend, and the weather relatively mild. Still a chance of showers hitting in by the end of the weekend. And speaking of the weather and more, we'll have Mr. Outdoors coming on at 7:10 or so this morning for the usual Friday report. Okay. By the way, I didn't let you know about this, but remember last week when we had the conversation about the big jar I have here in the studio of Klamath River water that had been taken from the river at Happy Camp by Mark, and Mark brought it in, and it was just this soup of goo. And we're being told and gaslit by the local media and, of course, the KRRC types in the environmentalist communities, because what this was really about is that it was more important to get rid of the dam. It had nothing to do with the fish. And the tribes, in my opinion, kind of bought off by all of the federal graft that tends to come in the form of grant stream funding, and we're going to have restoration jobs, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I just want to let you know that I let the water sit over the last 7 or 8 days after it first came in here, and it is looking a little bit better. Water will pass through it. I'll hold the jar up to the Facebook Live, so you know you can see through it, but it's still just a cloudy goo, which I have a feeling that all the magic fish supposedly coming back to spawn, it will be breathing this clay-laden water, and it will still be polluting their lungs. I can't help but think that it would still be killing the fish. Now, this is the way it looks like after having sat, and there's about a quarter inch of clay in the bottom of this. Remember, this was taken from the middle channel. Let me turn it upside down and just shake it up. This is the way it came out of the river. That's the way the river was running. I just shook it up and put it up in front of the Facebook Live camera. Just a little minor scientific experiment, you know, as you continue to be gaslit about how wonderful the dam removal will be here. And it's just going to be a matter of just a year or two, and the magic fish will be coming back. And no, I don't think that's what's going to be happening, but we shall see. Hey, we tried. We did our best. We tried to tell you. A few minutes ago, when I was just mentioning how that Oregon judge said that there is no way, you cannot limit the ability of the people to be able to challenge something with a citizen initiative, that kind of thing. That had to do with the urban growth boundaries. Could we do something about the road planning in downtown Medford? And the reason I bring this up is that yesterday got a release from City of Medford, and they were just giving us warnings on how they're reducing the speed limits in downtown Medford again. And if you haven't heard about this, this all goes into effect Thursday. Central Avenue from 10th to Barnett Street goes from reduced to 30 miles per hour from 35. Riverside Avenue, and this is Barnett Road to 12th Street. So this is like, Barnett. Yeah, Barnett over there by the Burger King, all the way to 12th Street by the library, really. That's reduced to 30 from the current 35. Riverside Avenue from 12th near the library all the way to Jackson Street, 20 miles per hour. 20 miles per hour on a main drag, a main road, both directions in Medford. 20 miles per hour. Does that make you really want to use 99 or go through Medford for any reason? I don't think so. These changes will also affect the photo-enforced intersection at South Riverside Avenue and East 8th. No citations. Oh, this is really nice of them. The city of Medford says no tickets will be issued for speed violations during the first 30 days, but drivers exceeding the speed limit by 11 miles per hour or more will get a warning letter. The ticketing really starts on October 19th. I dropped a comment over to the mayor and city council, public comments at cityofmedford.org. And I said, "Dear mayor and council, what is going on here with speed limits? Just received the release note this afternoon about additional speed limit reductions and red light camera enforcement coming to sections of Riverside and Central in effect for next Thursday. A common theme of listener complaints to my show is that the continued war that the planning and road departments appear to be conducting against regular people, making it as uncomfortable or expensive to visit our city, conduct business, and travel freely. Riverside and Central are main streets. 20 miles per hour on any section of our main street is both punitive and illogical. No doubt this is part of our transportation plan." Well, the transportation plan is nothing more than a choice, and Medford once again makes a foolish choice. Please reconsider this attack on downtown and the citizenry, and if need be, reopen input on the transportation plan. Because if that's what the transportation plan is, if that's really all about the transportation plan, it was a stupid plan, and past city council should never have approved it in the first place. But I can't help that maybe they're being dazzled. I don't know. Maybe they took some grant stream funding. Maybe they took some graft from the federal government or the state government to reduce the speed limits. So this way you could put, maybe three bike lanes. Maybe we'll just take the traffic lanes out and put bike lanes in. Bike lanes, that's all. Yikes. I don't know what to do about this. I just want to throw the whole lot of them out. 770-5633. Let me go to first line. Hi, good morning. Who's this? What's on your mind?
This is not so crazy.
Hey, Gene. How you doing? Welcome to Friday.
Well, thank you for me being here. But I just calling out about the rat stuff. I used to call the big block in my Corvette a rat motor. And the smaller engines, the 350s,
yep,
they were mouse motors.
Is that what they mean by rat rods, though? With a rat rod event camping?
I would imagine they have something to do with it.
Yeah, because I thought it was kind of rat rod as a, like you're cobbling something together from bits and pieces and you're creating vehicles.
Well, if you blow one up, you pretty much have to cobble one back up if you want to drive again.
So you have the rat motors and the mouse motors, right?
Yep, right. Rat and mouse.
What is my 1.6 diesel then on the old Vanagon? If the 351 is a mouse motor, what is a 1.6 diesel, 48 horsepower? What would you call that?
A large insect.
What's that now?
A large insect.
A large insect. Okay, got it. Praying mantis motor. There you go. Hi, good morning, KMED. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Keith out of Cave Junction.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
All week long. Oh, I'm doing fine. All week long, I've been wanting to call you about what I've observed passing over the Klamath River Bridge at Klamath. And I wanted to ask you, since I can't see what you have in that jar, is the color essentially a dull brown, slate brown color?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. It's essentially like Nestle Quick. You know Nestle Quick back when we were kids?
But a flat color. There's no shine to it. Just a flat dull.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, there's
light,
no, there's
light
no
brown.
Yeah, there's no shine to it. It's not like you have little pieces of sand in it. It's clay. It's really bad.
Shore to shore, either side of the bridge. That's what it's looked like two times this week, and it just makes me so furious.
Yeah, especially when you're told by, oh, this is going to restore the fish. Right, Keith?
I knew it when Russell Sattler 20 years ago thought it was a good idea, that it was a bad idea. Oh, you take care.
All right, you too. Appreciate the call. Hi, good morning, KMED. KBXC,
hey,
who's this?
Bill, Bob in Medford. A little background on the Rat Rod Show.
Yeah.
It started out in Roseburg as an anti-car show because, you know, those checkbook fancy cars with $10,000 paint jobs and stuff. So the Rat Rodders were kind of like the redheaded stepchildren of the car shows. So
yeah,
they started their own anti-car show.
So the Rat Rod anti-car show, that makes sense. Okay,
yeah,
that makes sense.
And Rat Rods are cool because they are cobbled together. You know, some of them are very well built, and other ones you probably want to, you know, take your life in your hands to drive them, but that's the whole premise behind building a nice hot rod.
Now, is the Rat Rod kind of like
jalopy?
You go to the Rat Rod. These are the people, though, that would probably be helpful in Mad Max time, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I just want to see one of them build a wood-burning one. That would be cool.
I'll bet you could. You know, what do they call it? A gasifier? You know, there's a gasifier they used back in the day that some people experimented with to take firewood and make burnable internal combustion fumes from it. Pretty cool, actually.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, something with your Klamath River water.
Yes.
Since you're an electronic guy, put an ohm meter in it and see what the resistance is. And maybe instead of building transmission lines, we can just send electricity downriver directly.
Yeah, and then we don't have to worry about the forest being set
fired
on fire, right?
Right, yeah.
You just
if you got an ohm meter in your toolkit, just put it in there and let me know what it is.
Yeah, electrify the river. And, of course, that won't help the fish, but, you know, the fish aren't going to be helped any either by what's been done to them, okay?
Yeah, well, it depends on the voltage, I guess, right?
All right. Hey.
Okay, Bill.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah. Bob, before you take off, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned to me yesterday, because I copied you in my on my comment to the Medford City Council and the mayor. And is there anything that can be done about this, in your opinion? Because, I mean, you've been writing and dealing with council for years. Does it matter? You had talked about them being blinded by money. What did you mean by that?
Well, you know, they got the overlay on Main Street through grants, and they got the grants because they put the bicycle lanes in. And they put the bicycle lanes in to satisfy, you know, the alternative transportation. But in urban renewal community advisory committee meeting, which is mostly a rubber stamp meeting, which I'm a member of until they transition to a new MIRA, you know, I said, why can't these be done on 8th Street instead of the main drag of Main Street taking it up?
They are intentionally destroying people's desire to want to visit downtown. And at the same time, we're told that all we need is the right kind of multicultural, you know, what other ways can we close the street in downtown Medford in order to increase tourism and things like that? Well, at the same time, they're making sure that you don't want to go, because this is what people tell me. They don't want to get a $165 ticket for going a normal speed through downtown Medford.
Well, a lot of people, myself included, if I need to get to the other end of town and I don't need to be a tourist or a sightseer or do anything downtown, you know, I'll hop one of the other freeway on-ramps, off-ramps, and just bypass the whole thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that now with the new interchange down there at the south end, and how you have to access the one on Crater Lake Highway interchange there. It's not as easy as it used to be.
Well, I know that given where I live, which is not that far from Foothill, when Foothill is finished, I don't know if I'll ever drive through downtown Medford to get to Barnett again, ever. Because, you know, this idea of punitive risking of $165 tickets by treating downtown Medford as if it is a school zone, this is so insulting what they're doing to the people here.
Well, you have to come downtown to go to traffic court, won't you?
Yeah, maybe it's just better to avoid the whole thing. But you know what they talk about wanting to attract people downtown. Nothing about that attracts people. It makes people want to avoid it.
Yeah, well, you made the mention of comparing to Grants Pass. You know, their highway goes through their downtown. They still have a vibrant downtown and shops and businesses, and their side streets are what they use for some of their special events. They don't close down their main street.
Yeah, they don't do that. But Medford wants to do this. I just feel like our city leadership and administration, it has to be the administration too, because planning and streets have to be part of it. They're just populated with freaking idiots.
Maybe they're taking the Walt Disney World model to downtown.
It must be. And guess what? I don't want to go to Disneyland either, all right? Thanks for the call there, but I had to ask you.
Bill.
All right. 6:36. Okay. I'm going to let my blood pressure cool a little bit. But I don't know. Maybe it's, of course, it's probably pitchforks and torches time for a long time ago when it comes to the way City of Medford operates itself. But yeah, don't tell me that it had to be done this way. City of Grants Pass, not that much smaller. Still has, lanes of traffic. Lots of traffic still flows through the city. You want to go there. And when they want to do festivals and various other things, they're shutting down side streets or they're working it on side streets. They're not making their main arterials, the main drag through the city itself, something that you never want to go to. This is the Bill Meyer Show. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters, proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A new survey by the Medford School District shows taxpayers do not necessarily support a big five-year tax levy as the district faces a looming budget hole. The option levy became part of the school board's discussion after they made $7.5 million in budget cuts and face another $15 million hole over the next 2 years, which could mean pink slips and the consolidation of schools. Of taxpayers asked whether they would support a levy, 50% said yes, 32% no, and 18% were undecided. Firefighters made good progress on the Little Lava Fire, the largest incident in the Bachelor Complex. Evacuation levels were reduced to level one for the Sun River area, but Mount Bachelor remains closed for summer operations. Governor Tina Kotek declared a drought emergency in Lake County Thursday, the second such declaration this year. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, 60% of Oregon is considered at least in moderate drought. Bill London, KMED News.
I'm Bill Payne, sending a shout out to Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. I would just like to say what an amazing experience it has been using Westfall Roofing. The team quickly looked at my project, gave me a prompt estimate. They did the repairs necessary and had my property re-roofed way faster than I was expecting. The staff was very courteous and very professional and answered all my questions before beginning the project. I would recommend them to anyone needing a roofing project done. They mean what they say. Need a new roof? Westfall gets it done.
CCB number 250730.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I've got a heaping helping of special offers on new Fords this month. And, well, here are a couple of my favorites. Drive a brand new Ford F-150 for only $385 a month after Ford's trading assistance rebate. It's a 36-month lease, which means you get to drive a new truck for 3 years at $385 a month, then come back and trade it in on a new one. And if you want to escape high payments on an SUV, buy a new Ford Escape and get low 2.9% financing for 72 months, plus an extra $500 of Ford customer cash along with that 2.9% financing. When you think Ford, I want you to think Butler Ford. And come see me down in Ashland. because no one knows how to make a better deal on a new Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV than me. That's probably why Butler Ford is the highest Google-rated Ford dealership in Oregon. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, right off of Exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, and certified pre-owned.
There's 6 month lease to qualifying traded customers with $6,252 assigned, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock. Beyond stock number 59607 and selling price of $5,673 after rebates and discounts. 72 monthly payments, $15.50 per thousand financed. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit. See dealer for more details.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
It is 6:41.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see. Mama told me, let's come.
Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Rick, it was the best debate ever, depending on who's which partisan you were this week, right? Best debate. Best debate of all time. Welcome back to the show.
Well, I'll just share with you that I don't know anybody on who's Republican or conservative or strong Trump supporters who thinks it was his best debate, maybe beyond the president himself.
Yeah, I know. I know. Sometimes I just wish I could hear just a touch, just a tiny note of humility or actually responding to reality, to something that happened to Donald Trump. Okay. Just
well,
once.
You know, I'm going to give you, I was actually pretty despondent, tossed and turned all night after the debate. And, you know, I did a statement.
Hey, Rick, I think I slept 2 hours, 2.5, 3 hours, because I was just so irritated by that whole process.
Well, that's right.
You know?
Well, I at least had some small outlet in that I did a quick statement on it. And I just focused on the fact that Kamala Harris didn't address the things that people say they care about. She failed to deal with inflation at all. She's failed to deal with, really deal in a substantive way with the entire economic problem. It's basically more of the same. We're going to print more money.
And you're right. She didn't address anything. She didn't answer questions. But you see, the thing is, though, her tone sounded better at the same time while doing it. Right.
That's true. But
you see, that takes care. But the tone is all that matters to the people who look at voting like they're voting for 12-year-old, like they're a 12-year-old looking for a student council president. Okay.
In looking at independents who purported independents who could go either way, who'd voted for both parties over the last 10 years, and what they told interviewers, and these were, highly controlled groups. They were, focus groups and the like. And I've seen video from at least three different focus groups run by news media on this to independent voters. And they basically didn't like her either. And they thought she was disingenuous. They thought she was scripted. She didn't come across at all as authentic.
So she came off as smooth but slippery, in other words, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I think that's fair. And and those who have said that the economy was their number one issue, Trump beat her 2-1 with those. And those who said that immigration was their top issue, Trump beat her about 3-2. And Reuters, anyway, did five different segmentations of issues that they asked. And one was, the third one that mattered to me was commander-in-chief. Which one do you think can be a commander-in-chief? And Trump beat her 49-43. So she did not make the case that she was capable of standing up to world leaders and be an advocate for the United States.
And that is also likely why she wanted immediately the second debate. And even though Trump arguably did not have his best night there, the debates are more beneficial to her more likely than it is for Donald Trump at this point in time.
Because she's trying to introduce herself. They've played that she's a brand new person.
Right.
And so she's trying to reintroduce herself. This is a rebranding. And she has plenty of money to run commercials and stuff. But, you know, a lot, she has only done, you know, two live things now and in 50 days. And, you know, it's pretty clear that with this debate, she was, I'll just put it gently, they'd done 10, 20 versions of this debate. They believe they ran audience responses through the magic of AI to try to figure out what the best responses she should give, her facial expressions and all that, and to try to get her not to do anything that just drives people nutty. And so this may have been the first AI debate. And I'm not saying that she's AI or she's not, you know, a real person. I'm saying that.
But you're saying they actually ran, the answers through AI. In other words, to come up with the best possible way, right?
I'm confident they took as many polls as they had and they had segmented people out and they knew what, and they're targeting who they had to get the independents. And they'd run, you know, let's put it this way. If you had millions and millions of dollars and you're trying to influence a group of people, wouldn't you test your messages out in front of people? Well, they did the debate in front. I'm confident. It's political malpractice if they didn't do this. They ran the debate in front of people. They got their reactions. They not only got their reactions from the normal kind of way where you push a button and what makes you excited and what you don't like. But I'm confident that they also had cameras on them with AI looking at how their facial expressions changed, did various, maybe even had, you know, temperature on, you know, some temperature thing on them to see how their body temperature changed and reacted to different things. And and I don't have any proof of this, but that's when I got out of that after watching it, that's what I came away with, was this was probably the first time that modern tech has been used to try to figure out how to manipulate the public. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you've got all the money in the world, you have Silicon Valley behind you, and you have, you know, you've got the Googlies and you've got the Microsofts of the world who control the AI. You've got them behind you. Why wouldn't you do that?
That's really interesting. You know, Rick, out of all the coverage I've read on the debate, you're the only one who even mentioned an AI component. I didn't see any other reporter mentioning something like that. But that's
because
kind of insightful.
Nobody fed it to them.
What's that?
Nobody fed it to them. Nobody fed it to them. I mean, I'm to give you my observations and what I saw. And, you know, one of the things when I talk to people after these things, you know, they'll sit there and they'll want to talk about what somebody said after the debate. What they don't realize, and I shut them down really quick, I say, I don't watch that. I don't care what Brit Hume thinks. I don't care what Anna Navarro thinks. I don't care what any of those people think. I watched it. I'm sentient. I have a brain, and I can analyze what happened based upon what I observed.
So, in spite of the Don, the Don was definitely not being. That's how I prefer to call him from now on. I think I'm just going to call him the Don. You know, kind of like the Don, the Godfather. You know, the GOP Godfather. You know, I'm going to make you a deal you can't refuse here, Rick. You know,
yep.
That being said. In spite of his flaws, in spite of the bloviating and the wandering around off message and everything else, his message probably comes off as more human than anything that Kamala Harris runs through the AI machine. How about that?
I think so. And the challenge that she has is that, like him or not, Trump's authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in a world where being authentic matters. Because people are kind of, you know, sick of being AI marketed. And, you know, in general, that's been a kind of a theme for the last 10 years of authenticity being the thing that's the big sell point. She's not. There's nothing that's authentic about her. If she got up, I'd have a lot of respect for her. If she got up and said, listen, it's time for change. We've been messing around for too long. We need to make sure we get rid of these nasty insurance companies and just bring off health care under the federal government. And, you know, then we go and we need to make certain the world's going to collapse in the next 10 years unless we fix the climate. And we've got to be the leaders on that. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. And no, fracking's not part of this. I understand Pennsylvania's important, but let me be honest with you. We have a worldwide crisis that's being undergone, and we have to accelerate the movement towards clean energy. If she had said that, I'd have respect for her.
Oh, yeah. You know, at least it would be like, it's kind of like Bernie. Bernie, say what you will. When he was campaigning, he told the truth about what he wanted. You're right. It was ridiculous.
Well, you told the truth about Kamala a couple of weeks ago when you said, listen, she's got to say all this stuff to get elected, but she's still Kamala.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so he said, listen, to all the socialists, you know, don't pay any attention to what she says. Trust me. She's one of us, I think it's pretty clear that everybody knows who she is, except for the people who are going to vote for her or against her. And she can't be authentic, because if she's authentic, she loses. And I don't know if she has the capacity of being authentic, but if she just told the truth about what she wanted to do, she would be, she loses. But, and she hasn't had a lot of practice in terms of doing that, because in her whole career, whoever's farthest left wins. So she's risen to the top of California politics not by being somebody who spoke a language that appealed to middle America. Mm-hmm. She's, speaks a language that appeals to, the L.A. Hollywood elites and the San Francisco elites.
And, of course, a lot of money comes from that. Rick Manning's president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Hey, Rick, I wanted to shift. I was over in Ohio just a few days ago for my 45th sure. high school reunion, and I didn't realize that over in Springfield, Ohio, different area of the state, that it was such an excrement show going on over there, right? And I come back.
I didn't either. It starts with a cough.
Oh, yeah, I know you got a cold, that fall allergy cold. You okay now?
Yep.
All right, good.
Oh, I'm good. I'm good and good.
All right. What I'm trying to figure out, though, is where do we get all of these Republican governors that are actually okay with sending 10, 20, 30,000, people who are uncivilized from Haiti, know nothing about how it is to behave as an American, and you welcome them into your state? Mike DeWine did it. Kristi Noem did it over here. I mean, all of these Republicans that are, and even DeWine, it's on the record of saying, well, I'm actually in favor of the refugee projection or the protection program, but, federal government needs to be a part of this. In other words, send the money to take care of the right. duck and geese killers. And and sometimes maybe people are saying that there are dogs and cats missing too, as we know with the memes. But who are these governors? Who are these? Is this what Republican means, that you invite the federal government to destroy your state and some of your cities as long as the checks come in? Is that where, I'm more angry about DeWine than I think I am of Biden. You know what the Biden administration is going to do, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's, you make a great point. It's a, DeWine is a long, has been politics for, 40 years. He was congressman for many years. He ran for governor. In Washington, D.C. parlance, he was considered to be a conservative. But he was a moderate. He wasn't a conservative.
He's like a Paul Ryan. Conservative, right? That kind of thing?
Nah. Paul Ryan was conservative compared to DeWine.
Oh, okay. But so this is a Mitt Romney. So DeWine is a Mitt Romney conservative, right?
I think DeWine is no longer philosophical. He is somebody who looks at things practically and from his perspective. He is, remember, Trump killed it in Ohio. And Trump is going to win by 8 points in Ohio. I was talking to somebody from Ohio yesterday who knows politics there really well. It's going to win by 8 to 10 points in Ohio. But Sherrod Brown, the Democrat, very liberal Democrat, is basically winning also. And he's winning relatively handily. Because he's appealing to people who vote for Mike DeWine, who are Republicans, independents, Democrats who vote for a a liberal Republican voice that doesn't really say anything, doesn't really have any philosophical push, doesn't have any, most good conservative ideas go to die, and they pass by the Ohio legislature, and DeWine kills them or doesn't implement them. So it's not surprising that he's welcoming of the Haitians as long as the federal government sends him lots of money. I think you would be surprised at how many Republican governors are exactly like that, even ones with very, very conservative records.
Oh, I was looking it up. It's like 25, 26 Republican governors. We're doing yep. this. And what are you thinking? And now I looked at some of the stats. I think that that Oregon last month only took in one Haitian, apparently. But I think that the Democrats are figuring out they in Oregon, they already have plenty of Democrat votes. They don't need to import any more poor, uncivilized people in order to to move the needle.
Exactly.
So they're doing it in Republican states, and you think they'd get this.
Well, in a state, it's just Ohio's a big state, so you have a lot more people. But let's just go a little bit north from there, South Dakota.
Okay.
You have about 750,000 voters in South Dakota, or people in South Dakota, which means you have about 350,000 voters, eligible voters.
Maybe that's right.
400,000 eligible voters, and which means you probably get about, if you win 120,000 votes, you're going to win an election. I haven't looked at the numbers, but that's typically just the breakdown how it works. So you have 1/3 of the population, including children, who are voting, and of that, you have to get 50% plus one to win. So if you get 125,000 votes in South Dakota, you win. So if you plug 20,000 people from elsewhere who don't follow our rules and don't care about our rules into a state, and one side saying, we're going to send you back where you came from, and the other side saying, stay here, and oh, by the way, if you vote and when we win, we're not going to throw you out, pretty heavy incentive to vote. And it's the Republic, and there's a loophole in our current system. It's against the law for them to vote, but there's a loophole because in the motor voter bill, if you do not have a Social Security number, you don't have a state ID, you can, what you do is you go and they push a code in, and they give you a number for your to get your driver's license. Okay, so they just put a number on it, but you get your driver's license that way. You're able to get through, if you've got any kind of paperwork like asylum.
And that's a breeder document. That's a breeder document. Yeah. Breeds everything else that you need, including your voter's registration.
Everything else, including voter registration. And so now they know people who are registered to vote who have those unique kind of numbers because they are unique and they're in the system. And that's how they're coming up with this is how many people we have who we know are illegals who are ineligible to vote, who have voted in past elections. The difference in this election is this. They are actively being told to vote. There's been relatively small percentage of illegals who voted, non-citizens who voted. But this election, they're actively being encouraged to vote. Secondly, in an election, Joe Biden became president by about 40,000 votes in 3 or 4 states. Okay, so 40,000 votes.
That's nothing.
That's a very small percentage. That's nothing. That's a very small percentage of people who are not eligible to be here voting. So, that is you get right down to it. That's the reality. We know that in Minnesota, the Somalia community, the Ilhan Omar community in Minneapolis, they make no bones about it. They have run with open ballots laying around their cars, going around registering or voting for people. It's there was a Project Veritas expose of that 4 years ago that was stunning.
So for all this talk, and even here in the state of Oregon, I would imagine all this talk that, we have some illegal aliens that are voting, but it's not enough to change the election. We don't know that. Okay.
We don't know that. What we do know is here's what's true. The Republicans have passed something called the SAVE Act that makes it so you have, it it creates real, it closes up a loophole.
Yeah, you would have to show your citizenship in order to receive a ballot. That's
right.
It. Right?
And that is a, and so they've got the SAVE Act. Seems pretty logical. If people say, well, it's already against the law, well, why don't you, then why are you afraid to pass something that makes it so we actually can make certain they're not voting? And the answer is obvious. The reason you don't do that is because that is a, because you want them voting. And it's a, you know, so you have the cover saying it's illegal, but you don't want to actually be able to do anything about it. You don't want states to be able to do anything about it. And that's the ugly truth, is that because of the way the motor voter law was passed, until very recently, when Arizona won a small victory in Supreme Court, the states weren't even allowed to do anything to stop it. And now they have some sliver of ability to stop it. But truth be told,
SAVE Act's not going to make it through, though.
49 out of 50 states, let's say 40 out of 50 states aren't going to do anything to stop it. And it's a, as the things you can do are so minimal that, and it's so late in the game that it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, so you're not going to fix it this time. Now, I know SAVE Act there, Mike Johnson's been trying to tie it to the continuing resolution, right, to make it go. And then you have the defense hawk Republicans who, in my opinion, do we really have defense hawk Republicans or just Republicans that are just bought by the military-industrial complex and they just want more money going to the Pentagon? I mean, tell me what's going on, because a lot of them are blocking that. They're the Hugh Hewitt Republicans, as I think of them, okay?
Republicans do not have a majority of people who believe in a balance, who actually want to balance the budget.
Okay.
And there's a legitimate concern. I mean, if you look at the world, you know, we could very, very well, before we even get to January 20th, an inauguration of a new president, hopefully, it'd be inauguration of a new president either way. We could very well be in World War III. I mean, there's dire things happening all over the world. And
yeah, but when I hear about defense hawks that don't want to support the SAVE Act because they want more money for the Pentagon, it's like, listen, you know, you have a fraudulent election that's being conducted right now, and you seem to be more concerned about your military-industrial complex sponsors and donors. That I can't help but think that that's what's going on, a little bit of that.
Well, one of the challenges of the guys who want increased defense spending is there's a defense appropriations bill, right? And that has all the defense spending in it. And they have a hard time passing it. Why do they have a hard time passing it? The left doesn't want to increase defense spending. And conservatives sit there and look at it and say, no, we're not paying for transgender surgeries in the military.
Right.
We're not going to pay for DEI indoctrination in the military. And so they want a lot of equipment and stuff. And conservatives want a military that actually isn't trying to undermine our own country. And liberals don't want to spend money on military. They want to spend money on buying voters.
And transgender surgeries in the military. You know, they're okay with that.
Transgender.
Yeah.
So, but they're not going to vote for them. So they don't have a consensus on how to pass a military funding bill because of those kind of diverse ideas. And then you have Thomas Massie and very few who say, you know, $850 billion is enough in a year. You know, figure out how to spend that wisely. We can't afford to continue. We've got to, you know, we've $35 trillion in debt matters, and we've got to do something about that. So, the problem Speaker Johnson has, and I met with him 2 days ago on this exact subject, there are some Republicans on the conservative side, friends of mine, who sit there and say, I've never voted for a continuing resolution. I don't agree with continuing resolutions. I won't vote for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You have some Republicans like Mike Rogers from Alabama who says, I don't like continuing resolutions because it hurts the ability for the military to contract. And I want to spend more money on military.
Right.
So if I'm going to vote for it, I want more money for defense spending. And you only need to lose. Joe Wilson's in the hospital. He had a stroke. He sounds like he's going to be okay, but he's in the hospital. That means they can lose. If they have four Republicans are voting this down, they lose.
And I just want to be clear about this, because I'll notice, like, the right-wing media people like Joe Hoft over at Gateway Pundit, who I respect in many ways, But, you know, Rhino guy, he pulls Mike Johnson pulls it from the pulls the SAVE Act from the agenda. Well, and I had a feeling it was more like what you're saying. He didn't have the votes. The votes weren't there. Right. And that's a reality. The math problem. Right. You know,
he did not have the votes. He said, I don't want to put it up and lose. Okay. You know, if you're going to do something to try to draw out the Democrats and show that they really don't care about voter security at all, because they vote against them, it's common sense. You can't have a bunch of Republicans voting against it, too. And, you know, so it's, you know, absurdly, you have Republicans, and I've outlined it, you have some very conservative Republicans who say, I won't vote for a continuing resolution regardless. And you have others, and you have military industrial complex Republicans, defense hawks, whatever you want to call them. And they want more money for defense, and they don't like a continuing resolution. And then you have a fight over whether or not it should be a 3-month, a 6-month, or a 12-month continuing resolution. And the defense hawks want it only to be 3 months because they want to go into regular spending.
Yeah, they want to have a new president and a new administration, and then do it big time, right?
In December, it's all lame duck.
Yeah.
And December is when the insiders have a field day because it's, you know, it is Christmas time and it becomes a Christmas tree. And every, you know, everybody gets their going away presents. We're leaving Congress, and it's just, it's sick to observe. But that's what happens in December. Everyone wants to go home, and nobody's going to, and you don't have enough votes to stop anything. They can spend as much as they want. So, The answer to the question is what Mike Johnson has done, and that's to do 6 months. A, you're not fighting this out in December.
Right.
B, you got a new Congress in March, and you have a new president in March, whoever that might be. And if you really don't want a president to be a new president, not, let's say Donald Trump wins, which I still think he will, by the way. But Donald Trump, you don't want Donald Trump to not be able to even impact the spending bill, the spending in the United States until middle of September, actually October 1 of 2025.
Because you only have about a year or so to get this ship turned around a bit, right?
Exactly.
You don't have my so I get this. So do you think Johnson gets his 6-month CR, even though it's not ideal? We don't like it, but it's a minor amputation rather than total sepsis. It's like some of the other problems. What do you think? What does he get?
Well, my honest answer is no.
No?
I think there's too many conservative Republicans who would prefer to, you know, stomp their feet and say, it's not what I want. I'm not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that people don't realize, there might be a government shutdown for a couple of days because they don't have the votes. But there are 35 Republicans who are in tight races who a government shutdown kills them.
Mm-hmm.
will join with Democrats to pass the budget, to pass the funding bill. And there's not a damn thing Mike Johnson could do about it. And so what will end up happening if people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I'll use one name because she's fundraising on it a lot, if she has her way, she effectively says to Mike Johnson, you have to cut the best deal you can cut with Hakeem Jeffries, because otherwise Hakeem Jeffries is writing this funding bill. Okay, that's what these guys are doing, and it's just straight politics. The only rule that counts in the House of Representatives is 218. It's the only number that matters. 218. That is the number that it takes. That's the majority. If you have a majority of votes on the House floor, you win. And Mike Johnson could put up a rule that says that restricts how the vote goes and everything, and the Democrats and some Republicans could take down the rule and effectively take over the House floor and bring whatever they want up on the House floor. That's what's possible under this circumstance, because a lot of Republicans believe that they don't get to come back in 2026, 2025. They don't get to come back if there's a shutdown and they don't do something about it. And quite honestly, they're sick of the last 2 years, and I've been supporting a lot of the stuff that's been going on, but they're sick of kind of the constant drama and not having a willingness to negotiate on anything by some of the members of Congress. So you sit there, you look at it, and you say, what ends up happening out of that? People go to preserve their own political careers. They stick it to the people who are sitting there saying, you know, we're blocking it and trying mm-hmm. to get them unelected as they see it. And there's not a darn thing Mike Johnson can do. He doesn't control. He didn't appoint a single committee chairman. He didn't appoint. He wasn't speaker at the beginning. So he didn't have any deals made with anybody to get to have clout. Now, he's raised money for 155 or so Republicans across the country, millions upon millions of dollars. But bottom line is, they don't owe him anything.
Hmm. And the relationships count. They count for something.
And he's only been there since 2016, I guess.
All right.
So he doesn't have long-term relationships. This is a perilous situation. I am urging every one of my friends who are kind of trying to creep around this and not vote for it, that they need to vote for it, that the failure to do so does not – all it does is it results in a lot more spending and failure to do – you know, failure to push the process basically neuters the Republican majority of the House. And – you know, that's the only thing we've got to stop Biden and Schumer from spending however they want to.
All right. I'll take that to the bank. And you see, this is the way the sausage is really made behind the scenes. And that's why we have you on to explain this, because people need to understand why things happen the way they do and that there is more to it than you just think the Gateway Pundit headline, Rhino Mike Johnson. There's a little more to it than that. The votes aren't there. All that matters is that.
And I like Joe, too.
Yeah, but still, you know, it doesn't help, though. It doesn't help you get to 218 at this point. That's all I'm getting at.
It does not get you to 218. And, you know, I've said this. I was in with Johnson 2 days ago, as I said. And their job right now is to do a simple thing, to win in November. Mm-hmm. That's their job, win in November. Don't do things that cause Donald Trump to lose. Don't do things that cause them to lose. Because if we lose the presidency and we lose the House, we don't pick up the Senate, or we pick up the Senate with only one vote majority, we are going to be in a big problem for the next 4 years, a problem much worse than the Biden problem. And sometimes you have to think beyond the end of your nose about what's important, and winning in November is more important than having a Pyrrhic victory in September.
All right, will do. DailyTorch.com, read up more on this and so much more. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. We ran long on it, but I wanted to make sure people understood what's going on, because they're going to get a lot of spin in right-wing media, and of course, naturally, you're going to hear garbage coming out of the left-wing media, but you have to... There's nuance that's involved here. There's real nuance involved here. And Johnson has a very difficult balancing act here to corral 218 to keep this going, all right? Rick, yep. We will talk next Friday, and thanks again for coming on, all right? Be well.
Look forward to it.
All right. KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. We're going to check in with Mr. Outdoors here in a few minutes, too, and catch up on what to do for this weekend, all the fun stuff. Oh, yeah, it's just good.
Artisan Bakery Cafe invites you.